Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Hey, everybody, it's Destiny Fox.
And it's Michael, and we're so glad to be here tonight.
We sure are. We've got an interesting show tonight, and I can't wait to move right into it. But first, we are Michael and Destiny Fox, the owners of Fox Paranormal. You're going to be meeting some of our team here in just a minute. You can look us up on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Fox Paranormal. So go over and check out our page. Give us a like. We have some team members with us tonight on here live. We have Kobe Daniel. Hey, Kobe, how are you?
Doing good. How are y'all doing?
We're doing just fine. And we have Michelle Perez.
Hey.
You doing good tonight, girl?
Wonderful. So glad to be here.
So some of you will know Michelle pretty good, and some of you haven't met her, but let me tell you something. She has taken a job in a daycare. Bless her heart. I could not imagine. I love children, though, but I can't, like, babysit more than one at a time, and I bet you've got a room full. But yes, I appreciate you taking time out and being with us tonight. And we also have Jack with us tonight. How are you, Jack?
Doing good. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Jack was part of an investigation. One of our guest investigators last Saturday night, and it was such a pleasure investigating with you. And hopefully, we're going to get to investigate with you more in the future. We had received a call from a friend of ours and seeking help with a client. And we went there for her. The claims were horrible. I believe Jack can fill us in on some of the claims for us. He took notes that night for us. And go ahead and tell us, Jack, what were some of our client's claims?
We heard scratching on the walls. We heard knocks on the door from what they were claiming. They were telling us a bunch of different things, and they had nightmares going on that were beyond, like, terrifying and beyond real from what they were explaining. I actually have my wife that was with us on that investigation that night, too. If you want to speak to her as well.
Right, Sharon, it's good to have her on here as well.
Here.
How are you doing, sweetie?
I'm doing good, and you?
Doing real, real good. So we received a call from a very good friend of ours who also has her own paranormal team, and she had sought out help for these clients, and she's pretty persistent about getting her clients help. So she had called us in to do this investigation. After she had investigated, she had some bad things happen to her after the investigation, which she ended up in the hospital. Also, there was a psychic medium had went out on the case as well. And a lot of things had happened during her investigation there. One thing that I remember when we were first being talked to about this investigation was a former roommate was into some pretty nasty stuff. He had actually summoned a demon in the home to get at our client, and it resulted in all of this activity starting. There was a goat head drawn on the wall, a pentagram had been drawn under the bed, and a Bible. Jack, what was in that Bible? What exactly did it say? Do you remember?
If I remember right, it said something about demons for today, and had some Latin names listed. I don't recall exactly what they read, but
yeah, I have pictures of it somewhere. But we took the investigation and we went in with the team that you're all talking to tonight. And I remember talking to the man of the house and his wife in the room that used to be the bedroom of the ex-roommate. And I remember talking to him, and I remember his wife just kept looking down at her hands. And I remember at one point he raised her head, and when she raised her head, I don't know, but I just had this eerie feeling. A sweet couple, they were just absolutely sweet and adorable as they can be. And I remember it looked like her eyes rolled up in her head some. And, you know, I kind of knew at that point exactly what we were dealing with. So I had called the team outside and we were out there talking. And I told the team, I said, I want everybody to go your separate ways outside the residence here, and I want you to pray because we are about to step into something very, very bad here, and I really need you prepared, put on your armor, so to speak. And we all did. I remember everybody going on to their own direction. I remember standing there praying for protection and strength and guidance to get through this. And I don't even know if I shared this with all the team that was there. Michelle stayed close to me, and she always does. I remember as I was praying, I was pushed into the side of the house by some force. I just raised my hands in the air and put my hands up against the side of the house and never missed a lick with praying. It didn't sidetrack me at all. Michelle actually witnessed that.
I sure did.
Yeah. So after that, we went in and began our investigation.
Now, we investigated. We went on the premise that the first half of the investigation, we definitely were focusing on what we believed was human spirits.
Right, right. And
even though we were given knowledge prior to the investigation that there was a chance this could be something demonic, we always want to investigate the obvious first.
There was one thing that happened to Michelle. Some of our team members carry when we go on investigations, and there's a long story why, and I'm not going to get into that, but there's a good reason that we do. Michelle had something happen to her gun that she had on her side during the investigation. What was that, Michelle? What happened?
We was all standing inside the residence living room at the moment and just regrouping, getting our togethers together, so to speak, as where we're headed next. What's the next plan? What are we going to do? And I was looking down at the video camera or the recorder. I can't remember what I had in my hand, but my pistol was on my right, more towards my back than on my side, but still on my side. And it felt like it was either being tugged or it was falling. And all I remember is gasping, and I had to look like I was scared to death because I didn't know what in the heck just happened. I mean, as anybody that carries would know, having your gun pulled without your consent and permission, so to speak, is a scary thought. And it was a feeling I never want to feel again. But it was secure. It was in place. It wasn't going anywhere. But for that brief moment, I literally thought that somebody was pulling my gun off of my body.
So, you know, immediately following that, Kobe was carrying that night as well. I immediately had them take their weapons and lock them in the car. Because going in at this point, you know, it was just safer. The homeowners had made sure that all the knives were already removed from the home. Matter of fact, nothing was available in the home that could have caused harm to us. So we stepped on into the investigation, and lots of noises. We captured a lot of noises. We haven't went through all the EVPs yet or the video, and we're still working on that to really see what we captured that night. I do know one thing. It was crazy from that point. At this, a little later on, we also had Jack and Sharon come and meet us there to assist us doing this investigation. And they came back to the residence. They had told us that the client had told them that a man had died in the bathroom in the tub. So we did do an investigation in there. I don't think you guys got much there, did you, Kobe?
We didn't.
You know what I had Kobe do? I had Kobe laying inside that bathtub as we was working on EVPs, hoping, you know, to be able to reach out and connect. But I did. I had him squished down in the bathtub.
It's better than a coffin.
That's true.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. That's true. And I did a funeral home with coffins in there, and we've just about tried it any way you can do it in a coffin.
Absolutely. Well, the thing is we try to do so much to reach out and to make contact and a connection with, you know, and trying different things. So we're not opposed to doing these things to see what we can get.
Right. One thing. And I've shared this video. I don't know if I've sent it to Jack and Sharon or not, but I'm going to send it to them too. Before we left the house, I gave a brief description of the case. And, you know, it's kind of like all day long. It's like I kind of knew what we were going to be walking into. And so my plan was where the homeowner had the goat's head, I was going to put a religious relic there. It ended up being Michelle found in my closet, and she could tell you more what's in my closet than I can now. She found a little figurine, a nativity scene of baby Jesus. I think she found an angel in there, and poor Joseph had been decapitated in that bag that he was in. So we've got super glue his head back on. It was the lamb.
The lamb and an angel.
Yeah, a lamb, baby Jesus, and the angel. So my plan going in was to put those objects up close to where the goat head was drawn. And then a friend of mine actually blessed, and I'm this got crazy, actually blessed a St. Michael card that we keep on a haunted doll that we have that really causes a lot of problems around here sometimes. Mm-hmm. My son was in the living room and he saw me take that blessed card off of the doll. We had her over here working on her case that she's in. And he saw me take that card and he said, "Oh no, Mama, Alabama's playing today. Please don't take that card off that doll." Well, Alabama lost. So,
and we took the card. He's so mad.
Because we took the card off the doll. So the curse was released. Not really, but in his mind, yeah. We put that there where the pentagram was drawn. And then we actually had our pastor pray over a Bible before we left. Now, he poured his everything into that prayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, he put everything he had within him in the prayer. And so Michael had the thermal gun. You can tell the story from here.
Thermal cam. Yeah.
Yeah, the thermal cam.
Well, we were doing sweeps of the residence with the thermal cam, and I brought it into the room, which had been the roommate's room where he had been practicing all this black magic and this occult stuff. And Destiny had already walked through the room. She had laid the Bible in the middle of the floor. And when I scanned around, I noticed the Bible was glowing. It, you know, with the thermal cam, it's showing a lot of heat coming off the Bible. It was like 5 to 8 degrees warmer than everything else in the room.
Yeah, and it did that all night.
It held that temperature all night, laying in the floor.
So no doubt in my mind, that Bible was blessed. It was kind of an experiment because I had actually talked to different people. I reach out to several different people whenever we're doing investigations. If there's something I'm not familiar with a lot, I start asking questions. And just so happens, I have a friend that's pagan. And I sent her a message. I said, "Could you tell me a little bit about why you think somebody would do this?" And the thing that she told me, it sounded like that the roommate had created a beacon, so to speak. And I wanted to use those items to put the light out in the beacon and then close the portal.
Yeah.
And whatever came forth from that ritual, we definitely wanted to get rid of it. Trying to get it all right here in order as it happened.
Well, as the investigation progressed, we did notice, you know, some odd behavior with one of the clients, which Destiny mentioned earlier. You know, she had already noticed that. And her and I had stepped out. We'd let the team investigate for a while, and we talked about this outside. So we kind of knew when we went back in, you know, what was probably going to happen. We just didn't know exactly when.
Yeah, but we knew. I wasn't really sure, though. You know,
no.
We're never 100% sure. And we never know how an investigation is going to end, for sure. Kobe, was there any experiences? We'll talk about the last part of it a little later on. Is there any experiences that you had that you want to share with us?
There was one at the end that you could even talk about. That was one of the major ones. There was one during the deliverance that I had. The client, I would say, would probably be impossible for her to pick up. You know, the strength that the client had at that time was unbelievable.
Right, right. Well, we'll get all into that here in just a minute.
Kobe investigated with me through the house. He was going with me when we were doing EVP sessions and, you know, scanning the from room to room.
Also, the specific demon that was supposed to be called for, they specifically called for Zozo. Now, I've always been told that Zozo was just made up. And, you know, I think with him calling that forth, maybe another demon would use that as disguise. Whichever, we had our portal going, and we did get Zozo. Going back to why we took the case a little more, and I actually sat down and explained this with clients, and it so totally made sense. They actually live in a city where we had done an investigation over a year and a half ago. And a friend of ours was on the show 28 Days. And he and I were talking, and he had said, you've got to face it head on. And if you've seen the show 28 Days, Jeremy Leonard is who I'm referring to. Things happened to him in that show, and he became oppressed. And then he realized as he was coming out of that he had to face this demon head on. Since our investigation that we did in this city, it actually resulted in some of our team members and their family becoming oppressed and possessed. We had a team member. She called me and she said, there's something wrong with me. I need to talk to you. And we began talking, and things happened, and we scheduled a meeting. I think Kobe was there. Michelle was there. Michael was there. Big Ronnie, which was supposed to be here tonight. I don't know what happened to him. He was there. Other people were there. And we did perform a deliverance on her. And it actually, you know, told us that's where we came from. We followed you from here. Another team member, his wife and his cousin, we had to do a deliverance on them. And then somebody that we all love, that's family to us, actually became possessed, verbally spoke out the city's name where he was from. Since then, we've had all kinds of things happening on our property. People, even Kobe, Michelle, has seen things here and experienced them here. And when we heard about this case, I'm like, you know, this is so close, you know, and then I began to realize this is kind of related. I remember our female team member that became possessed. One thing that she told me after her deliverance, the words she said to me, she said, this has not come full circle yet. We'll never be rid of this until it all comes full circle. As Michael was talking to the client, I went in and called her from another room in the house, and I said, do you remember telling me that? She said, I do. And the best of my knowledge, she agreed, this is about to come full circle. I believe all this is related.
Now, I did pull up a little information, you know, what the web has on the demon Zozo. It says Zozo is a fallen angel believed or banished from heaven eons by God. He is rumored to have been the demon who possessed Ronald. Ronald
Doe.
Ronald Doe, the boy, used a Ouija board. And Zozo possessed him. It was based on the exorcism of Ronald
dough?
Jack spoke with the homeowner and said that this demon was telling him he has skills. Is that correct, Jack?
I'm not sure what exactly you're referring to. The skills?
The skills. It seems like he told us that he had skills.
I'm trying to remember what you're talking about there.
I was thinking that the homeowner had told you that this spirit told him that he had skills. It might have been somebody else that told me he said that.
I guess I don't remember. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But as I began to, when I heard that, though, I remember going and looking it up. And if there is a demon named Zozo, he does have skills. He's the great possessor. And the demon that controls the Ouija board, from what we can understand. So we realize that this could be the same entity that has caused us torment over the last year and a half.
Well, can I interject and also add something?
Yes.
You specifically told Kobe and myself when we walk in, pay attention to a smell. So we walk in and we're smelling, and he and I both look at each other and our mouths dropped, and he said, I know that smell. And I said, I do too. He said, I really know that smell. I've smelled that before. And I said, I have too. He said, no, we've smelled that smell together. And it all made sense because it was the smell that we had in a specific location in the city prior to this, where all of the issues stemmed from. It was the same exact smell.
And it smelled like sort of like a gas leak kind of smell. It was horrible. Sulfur smell. The whole home was full of this smell.
They even had an ozone machine come in there because they are moving. They had an ozone machine come in there to cleanse the smells in this home to make it a neutral smell. And you could smell this smell over the ozone.
After the investigation, I noticed that that smell had completely dissipated. All you could smell in there was the ozone. And they actually told me they moved out of there because of everything going on. I was glad we were able to take care of that for them.
I am too. I really am too. So we allow the clients to come in at the end of the investigation. And they begin to go around with us, and we go into the room. We begin to do deliverance on the home. And as we were doing the deliverance on the home, I picked up the Bible, and I'm doing the deliverance. Everybody's present in the room, and I had this overwhelming feeling to open the Bible and go put it on the female client's head. And I did that. And as soon as I did, oh, all hell broke loose. I knew right then that she was possessed by the spirit. The homeowner, the ex-roommate, had actually called forth this demon to cause the male homeowner to be harmed. Everything was directed at him. But who do you think that this demon would use to get to him, to hurt him more than anything? The one he loved the most, what he cared about the most. So we began to do a deliverance on her. I was called some names.
Every name.
Some. Yes, I think it made up names to call me. But we were successful in this deliverance. And that's what it's all about, you know, helping people. And it's just like, I was looking down at her when I knew for sure it was over, and her stomach wasn't moving. And I thought, oh God, we've killed her. And then all of a sudden I seen her stomach moving, and I was like, thank you, God. We helped her up. Now, when we do a deliverance like this, I know some people that'll strap them to a table, strap them to a chair, whatever. But our team has formed a technique, and everybody knows what they're supposed to do during a deliverance. Michelle and Michael and Kobe had her restrained. And when I saw how tough this thing was and how tough things were getting, I knew I had to step up to the plate. I knew I couldn't go weak. You have to keep your guard up when you're doing this. And that's something that I've learned from my teacher, from my mentor. You can't let your guard down for a minute. You can't have doubts right in the middle of this, because that's what a demon wants you to do. It wants you to doubt yourself. It wants you to doubt your abilities. If it can get you distracted. And this was one time I just dang didn't get distracted. When I saw how hard it was getting, it was like when I've done some deliverances, and to me it seems like when you start it, it's powerful, you're going, and you're going to complete this, but it's like all of a sudden this thing throws up a wall at you. It's like you feel like, okay, I'm not getting anywhere. That wall is the shield that it throws up against you. And when it throws that shield up, then that's not the time for you to back down and back out of it. That's when you've got to go full force. So at this point, what I did was I had Kobe let the client go. And the whole time Jared's filming this for us, this footage will never go anywhere. This is for us to look back on, to learn from, to study from. Kobe starts with such authority. And I told Michael, I said, I am so proud of Kobe. He took off reading those prayers and he never lit up. He never lightened up at all. It was full force, power. That is what brought that wall down. That is what brings it down. The power, the authority, because we have an authority over these things. We have the power. We just have to express that power. It's not in us. We were praying in the name of Jesus. We called upon the Archangel Michael, and we probably called on a few others to assist us in battle. Mm-hmm. But when we were able to break that shield, to go through that wall, that's when it got scared, when it saw that we were not backing down. Authority. You've got to have that authority.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, well, that left Michael and myself just, you know, holding her back. Yeah. And she was sitting in the floor. And anybody who sits in the floor knows when you go to stand up, you don't really have that much, let's just call it power, but I'm getting old, so I can hardly get up off the floor anyways, but you don't have that much strength and power to get up out of the floor. She was lifting us from a sitting position in the floor, lifting us as we're trying to hold her. She was strong.
She was. But we stayed right there with it. We were able to get her the deliverance that she needed. persistence. We didn't give up. If it had taken all night, I was determined. The team was determined. Michelle had her arm under, pulled up under her leg, and Michelle's butt was up on her shoulder.
Sitting on her.
Sitting on
her. That was softball thighs.
Yes.
We were trying to be as gentle as possible.
Right.
Without.
And what we have found is that you don't have to squeeze and hold. Just put those, Addie, baby, my dog's getting right up here in the way. You don't have to hurt them.
No.
You don't. You can restrain them without hurting them. I've heard of people, I was reading a story not too long ago, where the person being delivered was black and blue. It was because the person performing the exorcism had beat them, had hit them. And I'm like, oh my God, why would you do that? Definitely not a technique I would ever use.
Well, I think personally, I believe the violence, if you were doing that to a subject, you're giving the demon exactly what he wants. You're creating confusion.
That anger.
The anger, the confusion, the havoc. And that's what these demons want. Now, especially this particular demon, he's known for confusion and fear. He's wanting to create fear because he feeds off that. And he feeds off the confusion of people around him.
Exactly. Because one deliverance that we did, the first thing that happened, and I'm not going to mention any names, but the first thing that happened is it caused confusion. The whole team ran out and left me. And here I am with this person that's already threatened to kill people. Here I am in the room with them alone.
Mm-hmm.
But that was all planned because he knew if he could scatter the team, then it had a sure shot.
I would have been there.
I would have had. Notice how she's clearing her name.
No. I mean, that's her still thing. I wasn't there. But I mean, think about it still, though. When another team member came up, everybody said, don't go in there, don't go in there. And he said, I'm going in there. And he said,
is Destiny in there? They said, yeah. He said, well, then I'm going in. And I mean, it took us some time later to realize what exactly had happened. And to be honest with you, because I was so close to this person, but because we all loved this person so much, I could not complete this exorcism. I could not do it. I had to call on the Cajun demonologist to help me out. And I'm telling you, over the phone, with us praying there in person and him over the phone, we were able to get this person delivered. But its job is to cause confusion because it doesn't want to go it doesn't want to go. It wants to stay in that body. It wants to stay in that host. Why? Because it's never lived. It's never been in a body. And when it gets in that body, it's thinking, oh, yeah, I like this. I like this. It can experience the worldly pleasures that way. It can actually feel everything that we do. So that was a tough one. And so it's kind of like all that came to head right here with this one, because it's just like all these were practice runs for me, a learning process, because when this first happened to us, we had just completed, Michael and I, a demonology class. And it's like, bam, here it comes out of the woodwork. And I was thinking, oh Lord, I am not ready for this. And every phone call we get or every message that we get, I'm like, I want to quit this. I resign. I don't want to be a demonologist. I don't want to do this. And there's people that say, yeah, I want to be a demonologist. I want to take those classes. I want to do this. Oh, Lord, please don't. If you are not called to do this, by all means, please don't think it's fun and games. It is not. It's tiring. It wears on you. It takes its toll on you. Kobe and I have been sick all week, hardly able to talk. And I don't know if it's because of something that happened to us after the deliverance, or if it's because we screamed and yelled so much. But at the end of the deliverance, we continue. Well, say
one thing before you do that.
Okay.
During the deliverance, as we started to near it, we all heard something. Do you want to say it?
Yes, yes. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So it was as it was coming out, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Dad, do you remember when we heard a giggle? We heard a little girl giggle behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Was that just before the deliverance or?
Just before. But we all heard it. And because I remember saying, look at you, you're running. You're scared, you're running.
Then right. About that, I called over the EVP recorder and I heard footsteps running out of the house. And then I think it was Kobe and Destiny. Didn't y'all feel something to pass through you guys or something like that?
Yes. So as soon as we helped the client up and we knew that she was fine, we actually went through the house sprinkling holy water, which we used during the deliverance as well, and anointing oil. And we were going through the house making sure that was gone, making sure that the portal was closed. And just as Kobe was right behind me the whole time, just as I came out of the room where the ex-roommate was, something ran through me. It passed right through me. And I can't describe what this felt like. I promise you, I can't. But when it happened, I remember gasping for my breath. And I threw my hands up in the air. And I remember looking up at Kobe, and he looked me dead in my eyes, and it shot through Kobe. This changed Kobe. He ain't the same Kobe we used to know.
Now, this demon has been an escape artist for us now. We've never been able to hold him, to cast him where he needs to go. He's always been able to slip through at the end.
So, actually, we heard the giggle, heard it ran. That ran through me. Kobe just twirled around in the floor, there and fell up against the wall. Michelle had to run to him. What did that feel like, Kobe? I have no words. You help me explain it.
It's indescribable. It was like a force threw me up against the wall. And I am not the same person I was before that.
Kobe's been all peace and love, and that just ain't Kobe. I'm serious. It's almost scary. He's like telling me, Kobe calls me mama. He said, mama, he said, I understand it all now. He said, I finally get what you've been saying. I understand. He said, I've been so different. So I have pondered on if I was going to tell anybody this, but the sound of that giggle, I will never forget as long as I live. It was, I think, Tuesday morning, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday morning, I go to work and I've got my routine. I unlock the door, I turn the little open sign on in my office, and I go to a place right behind my desk, a little file cabinet, and I set my purse on that. I set my keys down beside my purse. I turn around and I always set my Yeti cup full of coffee on my desk. I walk around my desk and I turn the light on. So I'm doing this routine. I had just set my purse down, put my keys down, went to set my cup of coffee on my desk, and I heard that giggle behind me. I did. I, Michael, y'all are the first ones to hear this since I told Michael. And I was just like, oh, not today, Satan, not today. Don't mess with me today. But that actually happened. I mean, I just stood there trying to make sense of it. You know, okay, what was that? You know, I'm thinking that there's an apartment up above us, there's kids up there. And I'm thinking, no, you wouldn't have heard them giggle up there. You know, and I'm trying to rationalize this and I'm trying to just figure out, okay, what was this? It was not that little girl giggle. And I'm telling myself this. It's only happened that one time. And so the day before we got that call, and I'll tell you, Jessica, a good friend of ours is the one that called us in to assist on this. And so just that day before, Kobe, Michelle, myself, and Michael, we decided we were going to Hobby Lobby. So we're about to leave and go to Hobby Lobby. And then I said, it's not over. Kobe perked up and he said, no, it is not over. It's not over yet. And then, sure enough,
Good
we get
morning.
this call the next day. And I'm thinking, okay, it's got to come full circle and we've got to face it head on. So, is it over? I don't know for us. I know it is for our clients. So I know Jack, you and Sharon know them. Have you talked to them? Sharon, are they okay?
Yes, they seem okay now. They've given us updates that they're doing a lot better. What do you think?
They told me they haven't heard any other noises, or they haven't seen any differences or smelled sulfur anymore. He said his wife actually has a smile that he's never seen before now, and everything's just a lot better.
Oh, I remember that. Yes, as soon as
I
it was
remember
over.
that. He said, there's that smile. I've
Yeah.
missed that. And so it was pretty amazing. We actually, all of us followed them to a store. They were going to show us where we could get coffee in the wee early hours of the morning. And we go in the store. Just as we're walking in the door, she said, I can smell again. And I'm like, you know, I really didn't, you know, I'm still learning. I just really didn't realize how that being possessed with a demon could actually hinder your sense of smell, but I guess it could. She said, I can smell again. And she took a deep breath and the look on her face of pure amazement, she said, it was amazing. It was amazing. And, you know, Michelle and her were playing in the store. We were having a good time. We were in that store just talking and laughing, and everything was good. And it didn't feel like it was that early in the morning, actually. You know, we were all on this good high. You know, we did something, you know, we accomplished something. It felt good. And I'm not going to lie to you. You know, but one thing I want my team to know is don't ever get cocky.
Never.
Don't ever get cocky about this, because next time you might get one that'll set you right in line. And that happened to me because after my first deliverance, and then here came the next two, and then I got cocky. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm like, hey. I'm it right here. I'm the girl. Yeah, that's me. I did this. I. Number one, it wasn't me. I was just a vessel being used for this deliverance, but I really got an attitude. Michael, knock the cat off the bed. Sorry, guys. We're sitting in here, and all the pets are in here in the room.
Just another night at the Fox house.
You know, if you come to my house, you have to love the pets too. I know my cat loves Michelle. Michelle gives her
drugs,
not drugs. Gives her catnip, and my Kitty cat Gonza loves her. But you know, I had to get knocked down. That had to happen to me. And that happened with the person that we all love. When that happened to them, you know, I had to be knocked down. It's almost like God had to say, no, you're not in control. You know, and so I had to learn that. And it's continuously a learning experience. And, you know, to see that woman smile and I want to see them again. I'll be honest with you. It's like, I don't know how they feel, but it's like we created a bond with them. You know, I think about both of them every day since then. Every day. And I mean, they're just part of the family now.
Oh, I know. It's just amazing. We went in there and, you know, I can honestly say the team worked as a team that night.
Sure did. And that's the way it's
pulled
supposed
together
to be.
Everybody had their job, everybody performed their job perfectly, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, and I just want to tell you guys, I am proud of y'all. I'm proud of every one of you. You know, and that's why we do what we do. That is exactly why we do this. It's because we want to help people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fun going and playing, you know, haunted hospitals and funeral homes, and that's fun. You know, we get to go in and just have fun and play with the team and doing things like that. But this is where it's at, helping families, helping them get their lives back.
Exactly.
This is where we need to be.
That's what makes it so rewarding. And, you know, we are a Christian paranormal team, and, you know, we actually get bashed all the time. People just don't understand what we do. They don't understand it at all. Sure, Fox Paranormal, we started out, yeah, we were thrill seekers. We wanted to see things. We wanted things to happen, but it became so much more through the years. You know, it's rewarding when we help people. It's just that feeling that there's nothing beats that feeling, knowing that, hey, we helped somebody. We were able to help more people. Michael. But, you know, I'm glad to hear that everything's good with them. I'm glad they're okay. I really am. So we've got a lot of things to look forward to this coming up year, 2023. We're excited about that. Michael, myself, and Michelle were privileged to find out that we have a whole segment, a guest appearance on a new paranormal show, and the name has been released. It's called Repossessed, and as far as we know, it's going to be on Hulu and History Channel Canada. And I can't wait just to see the whole series. The people that we film with are amazing. They are forever friends. It's just an awesome adventure. We've got some paracons lined up. We have investigations lined up. I'm looking for a very busy year for Fox Paranormal 2023. And I'm looking forward to doing this as a team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to all of our adventures. It's going to be great and amazing. So we did want to talk about the case tonight. We did want to tell everybody what it's like to be a paranormal team, you know, especially a paranormal team that are demonologists. I know Michelle and Kobe hasn't taken the classes, but we've shared podcasts and all. But as far as I'm concerned, you guys are. and we're going to keep doing what we're doing, and we're going to go with it. But is it over for us as far as this demon is concerned? Or did that giggling just say, was it just a reminder, I'm not gone anywhere. We'll meet again.
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
No, I don't think it's over.
I don't think so either.
Me either.
I think somewhere down the line, we're going to run back into this entity. But what it doesn't realize is we're growing and we're stronger. And we will defeat it in the end.
I don't think
Most so. Definitely.
God always is. God's in control.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when it happens, we're going to be ready.
Yes, ma'am.
So, that hour went by real fast, guys.
Yes, it sure did.
Yes.
Real fast.
But I appreciate...
We have so much more that we can talk about and elaborate upon, and it's over.
But I'm anxious to hear these EVPs. We've been remodeling the house. Michelle can tell you, and I think Kobe's seen it. Maybe I can't remember if he has or not. Our kitchen floor is almost finished.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I'm going to be painting the trim, going to be laying the flooring here over the weekend, going to be getting the cabinets redone, the countertops. We're making this whole house look good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big change, you know. We're coming from a huge two-story house that we just recently sold, and we've moved into the house that my children grew up in, and through the years it's just run down, and it's just like everybody's looking at it like there's no hope for this place. My son said, just get a bulldozer and bulldoze it over, mama. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna make a mansion out of this house. I ain't finished yet. And so excited about that. I'm excited that Michael and I have such an awesome team. I appreciate you, Michelle. Thanks for being on the show with us.
Of course.
You're awesome. Kobe, I love you.
Love you too.
My right-hand man, my spiritual partner.
And hey, Hey.
Hey.
We're besties, right?
Okay, Miss Jealous talking here. I love her. And Jack and Sharon, you guys rock. I appreciate y'all being on the podcast with us and give the clients our love. We love them a lot. And please tell them if they need us, they have our phone number, just call.
Yes, ma'am. We appreciate you inviting us on the show. We look forward to future investigations with you. By the way, they told me to let you know they wanted to hang out with you again. They said they haven't been able to talk much over the phone or whatever, but they said if I get a chance to talk to you again, let you know.
Awesome. Sounds like a plan. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. And you have been listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat.
Yes.
Anything else you want to add?
Only thing I want to add is it's always a pleasure when we can go out and truly help people. That's what it's all about for us. It's not for any other type of famous exposure, you know. It's just to get out there. The grassroots of it is to help people. And that's what it's really all about for us.
Absolutely. And we want to thank our fine producer.
Absolutely.
Web Paranormal Radio, Stan Fikes. We love you guys. And till next week, we'll have a great show next week, we hope. Till then, peace and love, guys.
See you, everybody.
See y'all. Bye.